Welcome to another revival message from Apostle John Pierre Becker, Senior Pastor of Revival Christian Church South Africa. If you are in the Pretoria area, come and visit us.
Matthew 15, and we're going to pick up in verse 22. So you're going to be blessed today by the power of God. Matthew 15 and verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." This was a mother with a big problem. But watch how Jesus fixes it. "But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I have not been sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.'" Verse 25, "Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread.'" I want you to underline that. Children's bread. "And throw it to the little dogs." And he said, "Yes, Lord." And she said, "Yes, Lord. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs which falls from the master's table." Those two verses I want you to zoom in on. "Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." She had a huge issue. Daughter was demon possessed. She was a mommy in big trouble. There came mommies in this place today with big issues. I'm talking about financial issues. I'm talking about marital issues. I'm talking about children issues. Your kids is on drugs. Your kids is in the crack club right now, sucking on a crack pipe. You need God to come through for you supernaturally. I wonder if there's any mommies like that here today. Very significantly, she says, "Even the little dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table." The crumbs there, the bread, speaks of God's presence. In essence, she was saying, "I will become like a dog for you if you will give me a miracle." At first, the Bible says when she cried out to Jesus, he didn't answer a word. And then even the disciples came and they wanted to chase her away. But then she got very desperate and she said, "I will become like a dog if I can just taste the crumbs of deliverance today." The crumbs speaks of God's presence. The bread speaks of God's presence that would bring deliverance to a daughter. How many of you know a dog will lick crumbs from the floor? How many of you know a dog is undignified? If you want to receive a miracle today, you must become undignified. If you want to receive a breakthrough, just become undignified. She said, "I don't need a whole loaf of your presence. I don't need a face. I don't need a fresh baked bread. I just need some crumbs." She was saying, "I just need a little touch. I just need, like the woman with the issue of blood, I just need a hem of your garment and I will receive my miracle today." How desperate are you for your breakthrough? How desperate are you for your miracle? She said, I'll be okay just with the crumbs. I'll be okay. Oh my God. I'll be okay. If I can just touch the hem of your garment. I don't even need to touch your face. I don't even need to feel your hand upon my life. I just need you to speak a word. I don't even need you to come to my house and deliver my daughter. Be like the centurion. Just speak the word. I'll take anything, Jesus. She became a dog. When you become undignified and you lower yourself, You see, the dogs will lick the crumbs that fall from the master's table. But she said, I'll be a dog, Jesus. Call me your dog today. But I'm leaving with my miracle. I'm desperate for the power of God to touch my demon-possessed daughter. There came mamas in this place this morning that says, I'll take anything, Jesus. I'll be your dog today. I humble myself in your presence. Deliver my children. Bring them out of drugs. Bring them out of addiction. Break them loose from the vows of the devil. Desperate for a miracle. I go read the Gospels and I see every desperate woman. Therefore, I understand the biggest move of God was birth through woman. Because women know how to get the Christ's attention. Women know how to get the attention of the power of God. At first, he did not respond. At first, the disciples wanted to chase her away, but then she began to worship. At first, she was asking. The second time, she was worshiping. The third time, she says, I'll be a dog for you today. I'll be the dog licking up the crumbs from my master's table. I don't even have to be seated at the table. I just need a little crumb. I just need one squirt of the anointing to deliver my children. I just need one verse, one precept, and it will set my family free. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost here. See, will be desperation. Woo! See, will be desperation. She was desperate for what? The bread of God's presence. See with me, the bread of God's presence. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost here. Woo! The priority of God's presence is absent in the present day church. The move of God is the only hope. The presence of God is the only hope for South Africa. The outpouring of the power of God is the only hope for this nation. Say with me, the presence of God. You see, many churches, they are so cold. It's like that oven, that bread oven has been off for years. Cook crumbles. No move of God. Dead. No miracles. No signs. No wonders. No powerful move of God. They satisfied with cold ovens where God has destined the hot bread ovens of heaven. Come on, somebody. Can I preach to somebody here today? I say there's a red hot bread oven here today that has fresh bread from heaven. You don't even need the crumbs. You don't even have to become a dog. Woo! There's fresh bread. There's fresh bread being served every Sunday. Yet people sit there and look at the bread. So stuffed. It's time you begin to eat the bread of God's presence. You want the answer for your children's deliverance? Bring them into the presence of God. I went to a house of bread. I went to a place where fresh bread was coming out of the oven of heaven, and it delivered me from demon possession. Come on, somebody. Say with me, I need the bread of God's presence. I thank God for a family who brought me to a house of bread where there was bread. From a small age, from a young age, I went to a church where there was bread every Sunday. Although I did not understand the bread of God's presence, I did not understand the move of God. But listen, there was enough for everybody. And now I'm the product of a house of bread. You will become the product of the house you are part of. You want to go to the cold stove type of church? You cold as the cold stove. But there's fresh wood been put in the oven. How many of you know, remember those old ovens? They used to feed him. Grandmama used to feed them with wood. They made the bread in wood. It was the best bread. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? It's that type of bread you're going to taste here this morning. I say it's that type of bread. How many of you remember it came out of the oven? And you would cut it, put butter on it. The butter would run. You will add the jam, Jesus. That is the same in the spirit in this house. You won't get stale bread, old bread. Say with me, new bread, fresh bread. You know, you can see a person that have been eating old bread. And there's most do it. They're dead. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They're so dead. Cold as cold can be. Because they come from dead churches. When you come here, God's going to put you in the oven. There's no life of compromise. It's red hot or nothing. And you better mix with people that's red hot or nothing. You better get a boyfriend that's red hot or nothing. Get a girlfriend that's red hot or nothing. Hot, hot, hot. I said hot, hot, hot. Shut hot, hot, hot. You have to be hot, hot, hot. I smell the bread of God's presence in this place. Say with me, the bread of His presence. Luke 19 and verse 44. Get me Ruth 1, verse 1. Luke 19 and verse 44. Luke 19 and verse 44. And they will dash you down to the ground, you Jerusalem, and your children within you. And they will not leave you in one stone upon another. All because you did not come progressively to recognize them, recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. That is when God was visiting you. The time that God was visiting you, which God showed Himself gracious towards you and offered you salvation through Jesus Christ. Listen, the biggest sin is to miss the hour of your visitation. The biggest sin is to miss the moment of your encounter. You see, the Pharisees, couldn't see. They were praying in the temple for the Messiah to come. They were praying for a visitation. Meanwhile, while they were praying for the visitation, Jesus came on the back of a donkey into Jerusalem. And the people were waving their palm branches, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. The troubling bishops, they ran out. What is this parade all about? Can't you see we're praying in the temple? Can't you see we're praying for a move of God? Meanwhile, they miss the move of God that came on the back of a donkey in a way they did not expect Him to come. God will visit the church in a way you did not expect Him to come. In a form you did not expect Him to come. Somebody say, you can't have church that loud. You can't scream like that the whole time. That's the religious. That's the religious expecting God to come in their way. Ek het groot geword in stilte kerk. I grew up in church and was so quiet. There was 20 times of standing up, sitting down. And in 1 hour, the church was finished. And in our church, we fell asleep. Now I can't even take a nap. Because the pastor is still on fire. And the fire is exposing my passivity. When the fire falls in the church, everybody that's passive is exposed. Hey. They missed the hour of their visitation because Jesus came in a way they did not expect him to come. Oh, my God. Somebody said, oh, Jesus, please come in the quiet, still wind. And Jesus can do that. And he can come in the quiet wind. But Acts 2 says he came in the violent wind. So if I begin to reason God and I look at Acts 2 and I see that's the birthing of the church, I see God is aggressive in his presentation. I see God is powerful in his presentation. Because Acts 2 says it didn't come in with a small still wind, but it was a violent tempest blast that filled the whole house. So a violent tempest blast tells us in essence, this is the way God wants us to serve him. He wants you to be radically on fire. He wants you to be red hot on fire. He wants you to be radical for his kingdom. Expose the devil. Come on, somebody. Live the truth. Preach the gospel. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. Come on, somebody. Woo! You're making too much noise. Don't you see we're praying for a move of God? Ooh. Watch this. God is about to break up in every, he's about to break out in every club. In every pub. Jesus was a street preacher. He preached everywhere. He was hanging out with the people in the clubs and the pubs to win them for the kingdom of God. He didn't sip on the wine. He was preaching to the wine bibbers. They called him a wine bibber. They falsely accused him. He did not compromise, but he turned their lives upside down. One moment they were drunk on old brown sherry, but when Jesus starts speaking, the power of God came upon him. They got sober in a moment, got off of drugs. He told them, leave everything, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Woo! Fishermen were dirty boys, and Jesus mixed with dirty boys. Turn their lives around so much so that they said, Lord, we will even give our companies away from you. And fishermen made a whole lot of money back then. And they said, Lord, we will even give this up for you because you touched our lives. Come on, somebody. I said, God is about to break out. Get ready for a move of God in the highways, in the byways, an uncontrollable, unstoppable outbreak of the Holy Ghost. And then somebody said, oh, Jesus is so humble. He came on the back of a donkey. Jesus was so poor. Maybru. Go study your Bible. If you own a donkey, use the donkey. It was equivalent of driving a Ferrari in the 21st century. They didn't have cars back then. Come on. For you to have a donkey was mean you classy, Maybru. So Jesus was blessed and highly favored. Can you say amen? Jesus was blessed and highly favored. I can just imagine that donkey. Everybody's shouting. Are you shouting for me? What's going on? The donkey felt so good about himself. Come on, Pete. Mark is a donkey. Come. Quickly, Pete. Quickly, quickly. Come on, Pete. Yeah, he spotlights up, you know. Come. This guy can make like a donkey. For real. You will think it's a donkey. Hoyom. Hoyom, Pete. Go, Pete. Go. Go, Pete. Go. Listen. Listen. We're just having some fun. It's Mother's Day. Do it for the mothers, asseblief. Don't laugh. You can't do it if you laugh. Hoi hem. Hey! Can you imagine donkey going, ah! They're doing it for me. Come on, let's put our hands together for donkey. Come on. Hallelujah. Can you imagine donkey going like that? Thinking, my God, I've never received such praise. Woo. The joy is going to break out. But how many of you know donkey was the carrier of the movement? Oh my God. Donkey was willing to surrender himself to become the movement of the supernatural. Donkey carried the move of God on his back. He carried the power of God. Be a carrier in your generation. Carry the supernatural. Carry the move of God. Carry the prophetic. Carry the power of God. Carry deliverance. Say with me, I'll be a donkey. Anytime for you, Jesus. Ruth 1 and verse 1. Are you there? Say with me, the bread of God's presence. This is what happens where the bread is absent. This is what happens if the presence of God is no longer there. Listen to this. Listen, listen.
In the days when the judges governed Israel, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live temporarily in the country of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. And his two sons were named Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and stayed there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left a widow with her two sons. They took wives from the Moabite woman. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband.
Watch this. Did you read up until verse 6?
Then she set out with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in Moab how the Lord had taken care of his people of Judah in giving them food.
Now watch this, watch this. Three things I see what happened when they moved away from the presence of God. Bethlehem speaks of the house of bread, the place of God's presence. Say with me, the place of God's presence. But watch, when they moved away to Moab, three things Moab will do. If you're in a church, a place where there's no presence, this is what will happen. Number one, it will kill generations. Because the Bible says when they moved to Moab, it killed their sons. Which means the absence of God's presence can deprive generations from the presence of God. Just the other night, a young kid was freaked out when the power of God started moving. That kid has never been to a church where the power of God is moving. And his father came to me and said, the child is freaked out. I said, it's your fault. Because you go to a dead church. And your kid has never seen the supernatural power of God. Nothing weird about the power of God. Nothing weird about this type of preaching. Nothing weird about people getting healed from incurable diseases. Nothing weird about people getting delivered by the power of God. It's supposed to be the norm. You idiot. I had to rebuke the father. Why? Because he goes to some dead church. He goes to a Moab. And listen, the Lord said to me, if you don't bring your children into the presence of God, into a church where the presence of God is, they will stay in Moab and a whole generation will be lost because you take your kids to dead churches. They don't know the supernatural. So when the power of God starts moving, people pray in tongues, devil come out of people. They say, ooh, that's a weird church. Yeah, it's weird, man. Yeah, it's weird. You're weird because you're normal. And the Bible is supernatural. Jesus is supernatural. Everything is supernatural. If we don't reveal the power of God to this generation, a whole generation will be brought up in a seeker-friendly movement. No move of God. Therefore, I thank God for my generation, my predecessors. They went to wild Holy Ghost church. Listen, although I was rebellious and I rebelled against the move of God, guess what? I didn't turn out that bad. How many of you say I'm following in the footsteps of my predecessors who lived in Bethlehem? Come on, somebody. The house of bread where the power of God was being made manifest. I prophesy generations will know the power of God through your lineage. Shout if you believe it in this place. Number one, Moab. Because they moved to Moab, it killed generations. It robbed generations from experiencing the presence of God. Number two, Moab will kill your reproduction system. Killed her husband, secondly. Number one, killed the children. Killed, it stopped a generational lineage. Number two, it will stop you from reproducing fruit into the next generation. You see, my praying uncle, my praying grandmother gave birth to me in the spirit. Although my uncle is in the heaven who shook South Africa with the power of God. If you look at this style of preaching, you see him. It's the same mantle that comes from one generation to another. He walked in the supernatural. He pursued the supernatural. And I know my children and my children's children and your children and your children's children being raised up in the church where the presence of God is going to reproduce for generations. Therefore, I don't care who is in the service, the power of God is going to move. I don't care who is in the meeting, the power of God is going to hit the place. Come on, somebody. We're going to have church, maybe. You know, some pastors, when somebody important come to the church, you say, no, the mayor is in the service. What, the mayor? The mayor does exactly what I do. Number one, number two. He's also a person. Can you? He's not a hot. He's just a person. Only difference is I'm a person full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. And we're not going to compromise the move of God. We're not going to compromise the supernatural. Never compromise the move of God in your life. No matter what people say about you, think about you. Who cares a rip about what people say or things? You know how you test your boyfriend, your girlfriend, bring them to this church. As they sit with the duck back, recht deur die diens, dan weet jy dis verkeerigene. That's how I'm going to test my boys. If they bring girls home, I want them to sit through a hot service. I want to see how the devil manifests. First, I want to cast the devil out. Come on. But make sure they're radically on fire. Then you're the woman for my kids. Come on. Then you're the woman for my boys. Come on, somebody. Then you're the man for my girls. Come on, somebody. Because in a service like this, his temperature is being tested. The move of God must go from one generation to another. And you cannot compromise. Can you say amen? Don't be in a hurry. I know most of you young people, you're hungry. It's blah. You're in a hurry. You want the ringy, but you want the dinghy more than the ringy. You're burning with desire. Don't be in a hurry. Wait for Mr. Right. Wait for the right girl. Come on. The right man. But watch how they serve God. And let that be the model in your life. My wife came to my service. I was preaching in a white suit. She thought it was Benny Hinn. Lift your hands everywhere. I think up until this day, Evangelist Taba, I think it was the anointing. Because the anointing makes you attractive. I said the anointing makes you attractive. You can see if a man or a woman of God carries the anointing. If a young person, a young lady, a young man carries the anointing upon their life, they serve God. They dedicate it in cell. They dedicate it in church. They dedicate it in school of disciples. They go through school of leaders. They raised up as cell leaders. Come on, somebody. They're on the worship team. Oh, replacea. That type of commitment is the standard in your relationship. Can you say amen? Otherwise, you're in big trouble. I say you're in big trouble. If he doesn't want to serve God now and you're just dating, he's not going to serve God when you get married. You're going to have to beg him to come to church. You're going to have to beg her to come to church. You're going to have to beg her to serve God. And your finances will be in trouble because they won't even be tithers. Jay will be broke, Mayberu. Big trouble. That's what the Bible says. Don't enter a relationship with an ungodly person. Can you say amen? So stay in the place where the presence of God manifests. Number three, Moab will eradicate life completely. She lost everything, but watch this. There was a rumor of bread in the house of bread that came to Naomi. And watch this. When she heard the report of the bread, they went back to Bethlehem to eat the bread again. The place of God's presence, the place where there's life. But there's been losses. But watch this now. As a result, Ruth became part of the messianic lineage of Jesus because she went back to the presence of God. Come on. When she married Boaz, she bore him a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse and the father of David. Once again, when they went back to the place of God's presence, a lineage was birthed. That's where Obed come from. The Bible says that the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the presence, because of the ark. David was a blessed man because he's part of that lineage. Jesse is part of that lineage. Come on, somebody. Obed is part of that lineage who was birthed in the presence of God. How many of you want your children? How many of you want generations to be birthed in the presence of God? Be like Naomi, all the mothers here today. Be like Naomi. Make sure your children is in the presence of God. They might murmur and complain, we don't want to go to church. No, they're under that anointing. Come on. And God is busy raising them up. Because the anointing is contagious. I used to be high on drugs, smoke weed outside of my uncle's church, smoke mandrakes outside of the church. And when myself and my friend walk into the church, I'll be sober. Because I'll come under the anointing, the power of God in that place. And then therefore, I knew that God is real. Because the moment I walked into the service, I was sober. The seeds was planted. Although I rebelled so much, the seeds was planted until the day I reached breaking point. And I came to my senses. And who did I run to? The Holy Ghost Church. Because the seeds was planted. Come on, somebody. Say with me, we need an encounter with the presence of God.
This is the end of the podcast. We believe that you've been touched and transformed. For more great content and updates in the Apostle, please go to our social media platform.